Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider College Football Podcast. I'm Marty Millar, joined by Mitch McCumber, and we'd like to thank Firehouse and Docs down on 4th Street for their sponsorship of our podcast, as well as Size Locker Room for the Cyclone segment and the Iowa Hawk Shop for the Hawkeye segment on this podcast. We're going to open up, Mitch, 6 p.m. Saturday, Texas Tech coming to the frozen tundra of Ames, heading into Iowa State for a 6 p.m. kickoff, 5 degrees projected at kickoff. What say you?
Yeah, it's going to be a cold one, that's for sure. And, you know, hopefully Iowa State's offense doesn't come out cold, just because I feel like they could be in a little bit of trouble. Texas Tech isn't a team that necessarily it has threatened to scare me on offense too much this year. They have put up a decent amount of points. You know, even go back and look at their last game, they beat Kansas 28-43, so they played a really good game there as well. But as far as defensive-wise, it's a tale of two different teams. Texas Tech plays pretty decent, middle-of-the-road offense. Iowa State plays stagnant at times. We've seen them play really well, seen them play really bad on offense. And then defense, Texas Tech plays zero. Iowa State plays some of the best in the country. Now, you look at this game and, you know, it's cold. So you'd think that they're going to have to run the ball a bit more. Well, Drill Brock's out for season.
Yeah.
A broken foot. So you have Drill Brock out for season. And then you go to Texas Tech side. Quarterback out for season, and then they have three wide receivers out for the season. Well, they still have running backs that can do some damage for them, and they will. They'll run the ball extremely well. It's going to be if Iowa State can hold off and do what they've done well all year and hold their opponent under their average for the year. I think Iowa State has a really good shot to win this game. They got to. They have to win their next two to be bowl eligible at 6-6. This one's definitely going to be easier than the next, as the next you're going to have to travel down to TCU on their senior night. Final game of the season, just to become bowl eligible. But if they're able to do that and a couple other things go the different ways, I'm pretty sure the entire Big 12 could have a team bowl eligible, barring West Virginia, I think would be the only team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I saw a stat.
And, you know, I mean, last year's game, Iowa State had a team that played a lot better than they did this year. And it came down to the longest field goal that their kicker had on the season. They won 41-38. It was a 38 all ball game, and they kicked a field goal to win it. And you know, I think this game's going to be pretty close. Honestly, they're giving Iowa State 3.5 points. I'd like to take those 3.5 points just because I feel like Iowa State is clearly a better team. They just haven't shown it in the past couple weeks. And you know, I'd like to see the offensive game plan that they have going into the game. It's going to be a colder game. I don't know if any snow's in the forecast, but like you said, it's going to be 5 degrees, really cold. We'll see how Hunter does gripping and throwing the football. But, you know, obviously, Iowa State has to deal with the elements, so does Texas Tech. So it's going to be a game that I feel like gets slowed down and more run-heavy, and you're going to have to see Hunter do a lot more with his legs in this game. But should be a great game. I'm still, you know, confident, and I'm still going to watch my Cyclones play, although it has been a more disappointing season. You know, I'm still a loyal fan, so I'll watch all the time. And then just got to hope and plan that everything starts to move in the right direction for next year. You know, Campbell keeps talking about doing the little things correctly. Haven't seen a game of that happen yet. Well, maybe these next two games we get the little things to start rolling. If we do get to 6-6, you know, whatever bowl game we get to, get the little things rolling as well. Send those seniors off with a good farewell, because there are a lot of good graduating seniors. Just named two, one on each side of the ball. Anthony Johnson, who switched from corner to safety, and then obviously the X-Man Xavier Hutchinson, who's had an outstanding career at Iowa State coming from his JUCO years. You know, hopefully wish nothing but the best for them, but should be a great game. Night kickoff too, 6 o'clock kickoff, under the lights, super cold. I will be watching from my couch. I'm going to let you know right now.
Next game we're looking, Big Ten battle, Florida Rosedale. Iowa loads up Floyd, heads up to Minneapolis. 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, and Iowa, you know, the offense, they've improved, believe it or not, but this, I mean, they're just riding the coattails of the defense, which is absolutely outstanding. Week after week, they keep, just holding teams in check. It's amazing how, you know, there's just not a lot of busts in that secondary. They're getting good pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, the one-on-one tackling has been very good for Iowa. And taking on a Minnesota team that just won last week over kind of a listless Northwestern team. This is just kind of hoping the season gets over. Question mark at quarterback for Minnesota. Redshirt freshman looks to be starting. And Tanner Morgan, the veteran quarterback that's been there for quite a few years, been injured lately and still has injury lingering. I really like Iowa in this spot, Mitch. I think that obviously 17 degrees up there too, so you know what kind of game this is going to be. I think the over-under set at like 33. So, you know, it'll be a rock fight. And Iowa just has to continue to tilt the field with the punting of Torrey Taylor. Then you got some magic in the secondary from Cooper DeJean. Each week he does something spectacular. And it's my understanding Arlen Bruce is returning to the lineup, but Cooper will most likely remain a punt return guy this week up in Minneapolis. So PJ Fleck never beaten Kirk Ferentz. And this would be 8 in a row, I believe, over the Gophers if they can get it. So I think Minnesota's in a position where younger quarterback, he's not really – he's still learning the offense, so he's still got training wheels on as far as the passing game. And I think that Iowa will hold an advantage in time of possession. I do think they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground a little bit. And I just think this game just – plays into Iowa's hands because of Minnesota's offensive attack. What's your opinion here?
Yeah, and talking about the quarterback, Anthony Kolek-Manis for Minnesota. It's a mouthful, I understand.
Yeah.
Not being able to get that one out. But him playing a quarterback definitely limits this offense. I thought, you know, obviously with Morgan and a quarterback, his veteran quarterback, PJ Fleck has a lot of trust in him. Not that he doesn't have trust in Kolek-Manis, but – you know, as a freshman learning this offense, moving your way through, it's a lot different. Now, with that being said, if you look at the Towton running backs, Iowa's running backs have improved over the last couple of weeks, but I still would put the trust in the rock, toting the rock with Mo Ibrahim. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, running backs in the Big Ten. It's going to be a ground-and-pound game. Yeah, you know, I think they have the under-over set right now at, I believe, 32. And I would be surprised if this probably would be a little bit more high-scoring than the Illinois-Iowa game, but right around that same the same thing there. Both defensive lines are going to have to play extremely well as the offensive lines. And a big thing here, too, that I'm seeing, so third down offense is going to be huge for this because you're going to have to try to get yourself into third and short situations. Mm-hmm. Iowa ranked 165th. Mm-hmm. On third down conversions, unfortunately, it's not. Okay. It's like my golf game, and it's higher up there. We want it to be a little bit lower. Yeah. Tied for sixth in the nation, however, is Minnesota.
Yep.
So getting into third and predictable scenarios for your offense is not going to be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Anything third and five, I think, are bigger. Puts you at a bit of a disadvantage, especially with the colder conditions, and then already the inability to really stretch the game out throwing the ball. Tight ends and running backs are going to be huge in this game. I do like Iowa, however. They won the last meeting 27-22. Be close knit like that game, probably maybe one or two touchdowns off the board for each team. I see this game in a realm of 17-14, could even be 21-17 when everything is all said and done. But, yeah, I think the punters and the tight ends and the running backs are going to have a field day in this one. Going to be, I think, even colder than the Iowa State game is supposed to be for a 3 p.m. kickoff. And you and I have both been up at the, you know, Huntington Bank Stadium or around it. The wind blows right through that stadium. It's going to be a chilly one. You're going to have to make sure you wear extra layers if you do end up going to that game.
Yep.
But you and I will be comfortable behind our the TVs watching from our couch for sure. But should be a great game. I think it's probably honestly the best and the closest matchup that the Big Ten has to offer as wise. And then we'll switch over to the Big 12, a team that Iowa State will play next week, looking to stay undefeated in TCU.
Yeah, TCU playing great football right now. You know, the win over Texas really silenced a lot of, you know, supposedly questions. But they've really taken care of business every step of the way. Max Duggan's had an incredible year this year. And he's a great leader on the field. And how about Spike Dykes, man? He's getting it done as a head coach. Comes over from SMU, and has done a great job over there at TCU. And then Baylor, this is a game that, you know, if I'm TCU, I'm a little leery of this just because I think it's a trap game. Just with the pressure that's on TCU to win, and Baylor can just kind of, you know, roll the dice out there and see what happens. And Baylor's really tough at home. I mean, they play really well at home. Great crowd that'll be engaged into the game. And a great way to kick off college football on Saturday at 11 a.m.
Yeah, and their student section sits, like, on the entire bottom row.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's usually nice down there in Waco. It's just nice, obviously, in TCU and in Fort Worth. But it's gonna be a game where I agree with you. And, you know, even Vegas really agrees with you. TCU is only a 2.5-point favorite on the road at number 4 ranked in the country at 10-0, at 6-4 Baylor. Normally, I would feel like they would be a 7-point advantage on that one. But Baylor's just got a team this year that is really hit or miss.
Yeah.
You look at their game, and they played against the Kansas State team recently. That's a hit or miss team, lost 31-3. The week prior to that, went and beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week prior to that, beat Texas Tech at Texas Tech. They also beat a Kansas team, 35-23. Lost to a West Virginia team, and it just literally goes back and forth. And you're like, what team are we going to get this week? TCU hopes they get a team that's going to roll over and play dead. I don't think they're going to get that.
I don't think they will either.
And so TCU is going to have to play yet another good game. I mean, once you start off undefeated and get into your first couple of games in conference play, get ranked higher, everyone's giving you your best shot. Everyone wants to be the spoiler and knock you out of the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You know, as cool as it would be for your conference to have a team, like, I want that gratifying win on the season. Baylor's bowl eligible. You know, if they lose this game, they go to 6-5. They have another game at the end of the year to go 7-5. Mm-hmm. They're really playing with house money. They have nothing to lose.
Yep.
They're not going to improve their bowl selection, I don't believe, with a hard fought loss. So they're going to go out and get a hard fought win. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to throw in trick plays. They're going to make this game an absolute shootout. And we know that TCU doesn't play the best of defense.
Yeah.
It's where they strive is offensively. And it's going to be, can Max Duggan make enough plays? I think it comes down to that offense making enough plays. I think they're able to get it done. Baylor will then lose two straight to a really good Kansas State team and a really good TCU team. Mm-hmm. And then TCU has to ride into the Sea of the Unbeatens at home against Iowa State in the final game of the season. And Iowa State then we'll see, but we'll be looking to try to get to 6-6 and play spoiler. That should be a great game because that's an all offense versus all defense kind of game setting up. And, you know, we'll just see how that one plays out. But
I like, before we move on here, I like Baylor outright. I'm calling my shot right now. Underdog at home, the 2.5 TCU favored by 2.5. The line's fishy, and you know, something stinks here, man. And I just think Baylor's good enough to make this extremely difficult. And you know, as that clock ticks away and they get into the fourth quarter, any turnover or anything like that. And basically, I'll be honest with you, I don't trust TCU's defense. And you know, I think Baylor knocks them off here. We'll see if I'm wrong next week.
Yeah, we'll see. And a team that's just scraping and clawing to try to get to closer to 500, and Nebraska took a little bit of a thumping last week against Michigan, as we kind of assumed. And Michigan did cover the 30.5 points by a half a point.
Yeah.
winning 34-3. Just Nebraska's offense without a healthy Casey Thompson is just not there.
No.
And they're going up against a Wisconsin team who got thudded really by Iowa. Iowa only won by 14 points. But really what Iowa was able to do on the defensive side of the ball, and we talked about him before, and Cooper DeJean had a heck of a defensive effort. someone on Nebraska's team is going to have an outstanding defensive effort. And, yeah. and against a team that runs the ball heavy, they haven't been able to stop the run all year.
Yeah.
You saw Blake Corum last week, and now you're going to see Allen run it down your guys' defensive throat again. I just don't see this offense scoring enough points and this defense stopping Wisconsin enough times for it to be I don't think it's a bloodbath. I think, you know, 14 points is a fair enough margin. They're giving the 12.5 to Wisconsin. At home, Nebraska, colder game. If Grant and this offense are able to move the ball well against Wisconsin, this could be a 7-point game. Mm-hmm. And last year when they played against each other, it was 35-28. I see this about the same score happening again. Not a lot of defense being played in this one, but I do believe Wisconsin pulls away late and scores a touchdown later in the fourth quarter to eventually end it and win this game.
Okay. I kind of think Wisconsin's going to jump out early. I think they'll do what they do. They'll keep it between the tackles and 3-4 yards a crack. And then by the third quarter, halfway through the third, those 3-4 yard runs turns into 7-9 yard gains. And that big offensive line will just wear on you. And I think Wisconsin's good enough defensively. The Herbig kid on that defensive end is extremely good. And they're fundamentally sound on defense. Nebraska, as you mentioned, the quarterback issues. There's a lot of things going on with that program right now. It's just not a well-functioning machine. And I like Wisconsin to go in there and win probably by at least 2 touchdowns, maybe even 3.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
Sounds good. Well, hey, thanks for listening in, and we'll talk at you guys next week. And thanks again to Firehouse and Docks, Size Locker Room, and the Iowa Hawk Shop.